All right, you guys good? You guys doing good?
Good.
Okay, can you hear me? Yep. Am I on? Okay, go ahead and open up to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20, that's where we're going to begin. We're going to look at three passages of Scripture, three places in the Bible. We're going to talk about being fruitful for the Lord. Okay, and this is going to be a little unorthodox. I'm not going to expository preach to you. I'm just going to share a couple things that God's used to get me to the mission field. And also just to sustain me in this period of life to be full of faith that God could actually use a guy like me. And we're going to go through that whole thing, okay? The first thing that I want to eliminate in your mind is the difference between me and you. Okay? Let's get that out of the way. Okay? I'm no different than you. And I had a guy talk about it like this. He said this. He said, every Christian is a missionary and every lost person is a mission field. Okay? Every Christian is a missionary. Every lost person is a mission field. And the mission isn't a place. Okay? The mission is a mindset. And man, if God could just give you the mindset of, man, God could use me to reach my community. There's lost people in my life that need Christ. And let me tell you something. If you're a saved person in this room, and you know a lost person knows you, did you know that you're the most important person in that person's life? You as a saved person, if you know the gospel, you're the most important person in a lost person's life. You're what stands in between them and heaven and hell. That's how important you are to God. So listen, there ain't no difference between me and you. The mission isn't a place. The mission is a mindset. So what if we could just get into the mindset right now that we're all missionaries? Every single person in here is a missionary. And your mission field right now is right here in Monmouth. Is that right? Monmouth, Illinois. And maybe God will move you. But guess what? If you don't do it here, you won't do it anywhere else. So you got to get to doing it here. You know what? I love the verse that's in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, I don't even know what reference it is. But it says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how shalt thou contend with horses? And if the place that you're accustomed to, it's wearied thee, how are you going to do in the swelling of the Jordan? So what that's saying is, man, if you're not willing to do the mission here, God will never move you to do it somewhere else. So man, we got to get the mindset of the mission here. Can we get in that mindset real quick? Okay, that you're a missionary and this is your mission field. And how are you going to reach this place right here? That's the first thing we got to do, eliminate that thing. Okay, we're all the same in God's eyes. Okay, so praise the Lord. You're in 1 Kings chapter 20? All right, let's start like this. The Great Commission is primarily a war. Satan has fooled you in your life. It's not a war for democracy and politics. It's not a war for education. It's not a war for drugs, for gender, for hunger. The real war is Jesus Christ versus Satan for the souls of men. That is the real war. That's the war that we are a part of. And the moment that you put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, listen, so many good things happen to us. Okay? You were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. You were indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God that seals you unto the day of redemption, that teaches you the word of God. Okay, you have a relationship with the God of the universe. You were given a mansion in heaven. Aren't we blessed? Man, we're blessed. So many things happen to us. But listen, if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, what happened to you when you got saved is you were enlisted as a soldier. Okay, you are now a soldier in God's army fighting the war against souls. And that is your primary vocation. It doesn't matter what you do in your day job. Because what you do at every second of the night is you're a soldier for Christ. That's what the Bible says. And as a good soldier, you're expected to be an expert in war and to handle your sword and be an effective soul winner. So I want to encourage you tonight. You're special to God. You're special. You're the most important person in lost people's lives. And don't sell your life short. Okay? Don't sell your life short to money. Don't sell your life short to a career. Don't sell your life short to even your family. Because God's got something bigger for you. And that's to be a soul winner for God. The rest of that stuff is just pottage. Okay, that's just Esau and Jacob pottage. Okay? Don't sell away your birthright to what God really created you to do. And I'll tell you what, if you're feeling some type of way, like your life isn't where it's supposed to be, let me just ask you a question. Are you serious about sharing the gospel? Because that's what we were created to do. And we're not going to find joy and we're not going to find fulfillment in Christ until we start doing what we were created to do. And when we start doing that, man, we'll be full of joy because we're being used by God. So today we're going to talk about fruit bearing. And I'm going to share the verse that led us to Kosovo. I'm going to share the two verses that have sustained us in our deputation period. So if we're going to bear fruit as missionaries first, we got to do a hard thing. Okay, and we're going to talk about going down into the valley, not just staying up on the mountaintops. And then we're going to talk about doing an easy thing. And that's speaking of Jesus to people. And then we're going to talk about doing a biblical thing. And I think this is the lost art of the church. We're going to talk about meditating on Scripture and how important that is to winning souls to Christ. Okay? So read with me in 1 Kings 20. We're going to be in 1 Kings 20. To give a little bit of context, there's a dude named Ben-Hadad. He's the king of Syria. And there's a man named Ahab. He's the king of Israel. And they go to war two times. The first time they go to war, this whole thing shakes down like this. Syria is down in a valley. And Israel kind of has the high ground. Okay, but they got equal armies. And Israel comes down and they slaughter Syria. And then you know what Syria starts doing? The enemy starts doing? They start talking trash. And they start saying, the only reason why you won that war was because we were in the valley and you were on the mountaintops. Your God's only the God of the hills. He's not the God of the valleys. But if you come down in the valley, man, then us, Syria, will slaughter you guys. So he said, let's match them up again. Let's go toe-to-toe. Your God's only the God of the hills. He's not the God of the valleys. We'll see what happens. Okay, and this is what God says in this passage, okay? This is 1 Kings 20, 28 through 29. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and it was so that in the seventh day of the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew the Syrians and 100,000 footmen in one day. Okay? How cool is that? Now, this is the verse that God used to bring us to Kosovo. Because Kosovo is 93.5% Muslim. And they told us it's going to be hard ground. They're going to kick you out. It's going to be tough. And I was so used to addiction recovery ministry in New Philadelphia, Ohio. And you know what? God was so good. And it was weird if someone didn't get saved every week in that place. Like, it was a fruitful ministry. And being in Albania, it was so hard that it was just like, man, you're telling me Kosovo is harder than Albania? I don't know if I want to go into the valley. I don't know if I want to go back into the valley. Okay, but you know what God showed me? If we go down into the valley and fight the war, guess who gets the glory? If God does anything and people get saved and the church is started and God does something, guess who gets the glory? God gets the glory. I don't get the glory out of that. So that's the thing that led me to Kosovo is, man, I want to put myself in a position that requires the most faith. Okay, because what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, I want to put myself in the position that requires the most faith. So God puts this on my heart, and I start studying it. And then God leads me to Kosovo. I want to share this with you. Okay, so point number one, listen, Jesus is the God of the hills. Is that what I got? Jesus is the God of the hills. Listen, that wasn't a false accusation by Syria. Jesus is the God of the hills. You know, in Psalm 97:5, it says when Christ returns that the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. When Jesus comes back to this earth, listen, the hills are going to melt like wax. Isn't that crazy? When he comes back and his feet touch down on Mount Olives, it says that the mountain is going to split into two. You know, it's a really cool passage in Matthew where Jesus says, man, if you have the faith that's the grain of a mustard seed, You shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and it shall be cast into the sea. Okay, you ever thought about that? Like, if that's real or not? Like, you ever go out and look at, like, a mountain and think, like, man, if I look at this thing long enough and have faith, will it divide itself into the sea? You know, there's a real doctrinal application to that thing. And he's talking about this. He's talking about the Mount of Olives. If you have a little bit of faith and you believe in Christ, there's coming a day in the millennium where we're going to see Christ come down and split that mountain into two. Like, we're going to see that whole thing. Man, you know, God's the God of the hills. He's the God of the mountains. He's the God of the mountaintops. That's not a false accusation. Now, in mountaintops and in this whole thing, I think in my life, as I was reading this, I think that represented my church at home. I thought that represented FBC. It was a mountaintop for me, bro. I had joy. People were getting saved. It was fun. It was great. It was like Maple City, man. It's your family. It's awesome. And I thought, man, this is where I want to stay. I want to stay on the mountaintop. Well, let me just say something about that. Listen, he's not just the God of the hills. He's the God of the valleys. And I started doing this word study on valleys. Okay, and let me tell you a couple things about the valleys. All right, in the valleys, you know, it says the valleys are where the battles are at. Okay, it's where the fights are at. In the valleys, it says that's where the giants are at. You know, David goes down to the valley to fight Goliath. Let me pull it up. In Numbers 14:25, it says now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. The giants are in the valley. So battles are in the valley, giants are in the valley, but you know what else is in the valley? The fruit's in the valley. Listen, fruit doesn't grow on mountaintops. Fruit grows down in valleys. And according to 2 Kings 3:16 and 17, it says, yet the valley shall be filled with water. You know what? The valley's filled with water. Megan and I experienced this in Albania, man. You know what? It was really hard being in the valley. But we never felt closer to Jesus Christ than in that time. That was really difficult. You know, the water is a picture of God's word. It says the washing of the water by the word. And when we put ourselves in a difficult situation for the glory of God, you know what? We're close to Jesus. We're close to Jesus, and that's where the fruit's at. So he's not just the God of the hills. He's a God of the valley. So I want to say this, man. For us, we decided we want to do the thing that requires the most faith. We want to do the thing where the fruit's going to be at. And we want to do the thing we're going to be closest to the Lord. And for us, that meant you got to go to a hard place. You got to go to a hard place like Kosovo. Well, let me just say this to you guys. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's ahead of you. I don't know what hard thing you're doing. But when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want to say that I took all the easy ways out. Okay? I want to say that I did the hard thing. I want to say I did a hard thing for God. And when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I say, man, when you gave me the option, I went to the valley. I didn't stay on the mountaintop. So if there's a valley in your life, if there's a hard thing that God wants you to do, let me just encourage you, man, do the hard thing. That's where the fruit's going to be at. That's where the water's going to be at. Go do the hard thing. You know, there was a couple people that got saved today. Praise God. You know what? When I got saved, that wasn't easy. That was a hard thing. I was at the end of myself. Getting saved. It took me having humility and saying, God, it's your way and not my way. When you get discipled, you know what? A lot of junk comes out in your life. It's a valley. And you got to submit yourself to the word of God. That's a hard thing. That could be a valley. Okay, when you go out and you try to reach this world, Satan's got a target on your back. But man, that can be a valley, but the fruit's there. So I don't know. I don't know what the valley is for you guys. The valley for Megan and me is going to Kosovo. But we can't wait to get back to battle. We want to get back to war because we know that God will get the victory. So why did God want Israel to go into the valley? Well, in verse 28, it says that ye shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, I want to put myself in positions where if anything happens, then man, we give all the glory to God. And he came through for it, and it's the only way that it could have worked. So I don't know what your valley is. I don't know what God's calling you to do that you can't pull off by yourself. But can I just encourage you, get full of faith and do it. Okay, whatever the next step is in front of you, get full of faith and do that thing. Maybe it's salvation, maybe it's discipleship, maybe it's evangelism, maybe it's going on a missions trip, maybe it's the Bible Institute. And you know what? Maybe God's brought me here to say we need more foreign missionaries in the world. We need more people to get full of faith and take the gospel to a hard place. Okay, there's places all over the world that don't have a faithful gospel witness. And maybe I'm just here to abdicate. Man, can someone get full of faith and take a mountain? And say, man, I'll be the one to go. And this is what my pastor used to tell me. My pastor used to tell me a call to missions is a call to preparation. Okay, so if you think God's calling you to missions, that means he's calling you to get prepared for missions. And that means you need to get discipled. You need to get trained to do it. So while you're up here on the mountaintop, man, with your family and you're comfortable, get trained so you can get ready to go into the valley for the fight. Praise the Lord for that. Ezekiel 22, 29 through 30 says this. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Okay, standing in the gap, that means you're standing in the valley. You got to get into the valley. You're standing in the gap. We need some more valley men. God's not calling mountain men. He's calling valley men. That's what we need. So let me just ask you this. Are you prepared? Where is your valley? What's the hard thing that God's asking you to do? Now you need to get full of faith and take a step and say, I'm going to trust God to do this hard thing. Are you in the battle? Okay, so that's the first thing. That's what God used to lead us to Kosovo, was he's not just the God of the hills, he's the God of the valleys. And I want to go to the valley and fight with the Lord. Okay, now let me show you something that has sustained Megan and me on deputation. Because I'm just being honest with you, bro. I'm scared to death to go to Kosovo. Like, we're leaving our family, we're leaving our church, we're leaving everything. And you know what I'm most scared for is that it might fail. Okay, like, I think about that, man. This is like the biggest thing I've ever done with Jesus. And I'm scared that it might fail. But you know what? God gave me encouragement through actually John the Baptist recently. And I got this thing in my mind where I think I got to do some type of miracle for God. You know what I mean? Like, I think like, man, oh, we gotta start an evangelistic Bible study. We got to start a radio and a podcast and TV. Somehow we got to get into the jail. Somehow we got to start a disability ministry. It's like, man, how can I do all that stuff? And God encouraged me with this. John the Baptist has been a blessing to me. This is what it says about John the Baptist in Matthew 11:11. It says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Okay? So Jesus says, there's not one greater in the whole world that's born of woman than John the Baptist. Now check this out. And look at John 10, 41 through 42. What it says about John the Baptist. And it says, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him here. Dude, that was an encouragement to me. Jesus says, hey, this man John the Baptist, he didn't do any miracle. He didn't do anything special. He didn't do anything crazy. You know what John the Baptist did? Everything he spake of this man was true. That means that John the Baptist spoke of Jesus Christ. Man, I ain't got to do no miracle when I go over to Kosovo. The only thing we have to do is speak of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, there's no one born of woman better than this man. You know why? Because he spake of Jesus Christ. Everything he spoke of this man is true. I'm telling you, that's an encouragement to me. That means I ain't got to do nothing crazy. The only thing I need to do is speak about Jesus to people. And then God will do something great. You know, this has been a revelation to me this year. And I hope you can understand what I'm saying. I'm just speaking from my heart right now. But you know what? I had a pastor on a stage preaching to me this year. And you know what he said? He said, listen, I can't do any better. Okay? I can't do any better. I can't do any better. Like, I've tried my whole Christian life to do better. And guess what? It's exhausting. And you know what? If I could do better, then why did Christ have to die on the cross? He's the best. I can't do any better. I'm pulling as much weight as I can. I'm running as fast as I can. And you know what? Christ is, You know, this is the thing. The phrase house of the Lord in Scripture, where you go into worship, you bring your worship into the house of the Lord, the first time that it's ever used is Exodus 23:19. And it says, bring the first of the first fruits into the house of the Lord. That's what's going to bring your worship. Bring the first of the first fruits. And in our human mind, you know what we think? Man, we got to bring our best to God. We got to bring our best to God. But you know, you do a word study on that first fruits thing, and it takes you to 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 23. And guess what it says? But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits. So who's the first fruits? Jesus is the first fruits. So if I'm going to bring my worship to God, guess what? It ain't the work of my hands that's doing it anyway. It's Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to give God worship and praise, man, I need to bring the offering of Jesus Christ and all his grace for the worship. Because guess what? I can't do any better. And John the Baptist, I think, got that, bro. And the only thing that John the Baptist did, he didn't do any miracles. The only thing he did is he spake of this man, Jesus Christ. I can do that. I can do that, and I know that God can work a miracle. I know he can work a miracle. I love Matthew 11:7-9, talking about John the Baptist. And it says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. You know, he's talking about John the Baptist, and he says, what? What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? You went out to see a little fancy person clothed in soft raiment? He said, those guys, they hang out in king's houses. But if you really want to see a prophet, you need to go out into the wilderness and see a guy that's speaking about Jesus. Man, what a statement, bro. You know, this world is a wilderness out there. And you need a guy that's out there in the wilderness, okay, not in soft raiment, a tough person speaking about Jesus. You know, it got me thinking about this. You know, John the Baptist, what was John the Baptist eating? He was eating locusts and honey. Okay, isn't that weird? But you do those references on locusts, and God says, I'll restore the days the locusts have eaten. You know what? John the Baptist got it, man. I'm going to make up for all the lost time in my life, and I'm going to go speak about Jesus. And then he's eating honey, and guess what honey is a picture of? The Word of God. Man, John the Baptist out there in the wilderness speaking about Jesus, trying to point people to Jesus, making up for lost time and loving the Word of God. I can do that. We can do that, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at the last thing. You do a hard thing. You do an easy thing. The hard thing is going into a valley. The easy thing is speaking about Jesus. Now let's talk about doing a biblical thing. Okay, and I can't stress this enough. I was at a missions conference a few years back when I first got saved, and I just raised my hand and I said, hey man, what's one thing I can do practically to get on the mission field? I was excited about getting on the mission field. And the guy told me, he said, hey man, why don't you just memorize scripture until you get on the mission field? You know, that was the best advice I ever heard. And you know what? Personally, to me, I think meditating on God's word is the lost art of the church. And it's why we're weak in evangelism. Because God says in his word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's not just in our salvation, that's in our service to God. And if you're weak in faith and you don't have direction in your service to God, it's because you don't have the word of God in you. So man, when we're meditating on the word of God, we're more pushed to do the mission. We're more encouraged to do the mission. So I want to talk about meditation for a moment. In Psalms 1:1-4, it says this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So man, if we meditate on the word of God, the promise is you're going to be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. You'll be a fruitful soul winner. But you got to meditate on scripture. Now, I want to share some cool stuff with you. I learned about trees this week. This has actually been a fun study of trees this week. This stuff blew my mind. God says if we meditate on Scripture, you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Okay, so in the Word of God, God likens trees to men. That's in Mark 8:24. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Okay, think about it. We got a trunk. We have limbs. Okay, we carry a seed. We can bear fruit. All right, just like a tree. Now, what is interesting, God says if you're willing to get involved in this thing of Scripture meditation, having your mind constantly on the Word of God, you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in His season. Now, again, what's a picture of, what's water a picture of? The Word of God. Okay, and a river is not just any water, it's moving water. You'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Okay, so let's look at this, planted by rivers of water. I want to talk about the doctrine of tree meditation. This is what God taught me this week. Of tree meditation. Now, if you can get this, you'll never look at Scripture meditation and trees the same again. Okay, you'll never take Scripture meditation lightly. Because Scripture meditation has always been the formula for the healing of the nations. Okay, I want to lay this out. It's always been the formula for the healing of the nations. And I never seen this before. So in Psalms chapter 1, it has the meditation tree planted by rivers of water that bears fruit. Well, if you go to Revelation 22, okay, now you have the tree of life. Okay, the tree of life that's in eternity future. And I want you to read this, and I want you to see the connection here. In Revelation 22, 1 through 4, it says this, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. So you got this tree of life in Revelation 22, and it's kind of crazy. So there's this river of water flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And then on this thing, it says on each side of the river is this tree of life. This is talking about eternity future. Now, if you think about it, man, this river's flowing. It's going down the middle. And it says on each side is the tree of life. So somehow, I don't know, I'm trying to envision it. Somehow it's on each side and then comes up to the middle and it's a tree of life. The river flows through the tree. It absorbs the water. And then it says its fruit is for the healing of the nations. Okay, that's kind of cool. All right, now I'm gonna start painting some pictures here. Now, if you look at this thing, in another example, you see John 19:34, where Christ is on the cross. Now, when Christ is on the cross, guess what? They pierce his side, and guess what comes out? Water. They pierce his side, and water comes out. Now, in the Revelation 22, it says the river of water is coming out of what? It's coming out of the Lamb. And here, the river of water is coming out of the Lamb. And it's going through a tree. Christ was hung on a tree. And guess what? That was for the healing of the nations. So now you got this Revelation 22, the water is going through the tree for the healing of the nations. In Jesus Christ, the water is coming out of the Lamb, going through a tree, and is for the healing of the nations. Even in Ezekiel 47, it's talking about the temple in the millennium, and it even says, this one's a little bit long, I'll read it. Afterwards he brought me unto the door of the house, talking about the millennial temple, and behold, waters issued out from under the thresholds of the house eastward, and for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the house eastward, I'm sorry, under the right side of the house and the side of the altar. Then when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Okay, so this river is going through the trees. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go down into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that every living thing that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Okay, so you have this other temple in the millennium that water is coming out of. It's going through these trees that are on the brinks of the river, and it's for the healing of every living thing. Okay, so we got that whole picture. The water comes from the Lamb, goes through the trees, and is for the healing of the nations. Now, you remember what men are a picture of? You remember what trees are a picture of? Trees are a picture of men. Okay, so why is meditation important? Because the water of God's word should flow through the trees for the healing of the nations. Okay? You guys get that? You understanding that? Bro, we have to put this word into us so that it's in us, it can flow through us, and be for the salvation of other people. Okay? But if we ain't putting this book in us, we're never going to fulfill the mission. Can someone get saved outside of the word of God? No, man. They need the word. This is the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But if this word of God isn't in you, it can't flow through you, and it can't be to the healing of the nations. Okay? We have to be meditating on Scripture. And I'm just telling you, no matter where you're at, whether you're in Illinois, whether you're in Kosovo, bro, if you want to be a successful soul winner and be on mission, you have to be meditating on the word of God. Okay? It's the lost art of the church. So what Megan and I do every morning, we spend time with the Lord, and then we write down a little verse on a piece of paper, and then all day long we're trying to memorize and meditate on that thing. And let me just tell you, bro, every time we do this, God gives us an opportunity to share what's flowing through us to other people and to minister to them with the word of God. But man, we got to be trees that the river flows through us that we can be for the healing of the nations. All right, does that make sense? Okay, now what's crazy, I just want to say this last part. What's crazy is look at Psalm 104:15-16. It says, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man," okay, wine's a picture of the blood, "and oil to make his face to shine," oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, "and bread which strengtheneth man's heart," bread is a picture of the word of God, and it says, "the trees of the Lord are full of sap." So now I'm being a nerd on my computer, and I'm looking up what sap is. Let me just read a couple things according to AI. We should trust AI. It says, "Tree sap is a watery substance." Okay, watery substance that circulates through a tree's vascular system, similar to blood in animals, carrying water, nutrients, and sugars throughout the tree. It's essential for a tree's growth and survival, playing a crucial role in transporting the products of photosynthesis and supporting various cellular processes. Okay, so sap and trees is, it's water, man. That's cool. And it says the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Okay, we got to be trees of the Lord that are full of sap. Okay, I started doing a study on this thing. And I don't know if you guys know this. You guys got to study it for yourselves. But you know that roots of trees have their own ecosystem. This is cool. And that roots and trees can communicate to each other through their roots. Okay, it's kind of crazy. I learned all this stuff this week. And if you're in a forest, either roots will be touching each other, combining with each other, or there's a fungi that's underneath trees that can communicate to each other and tell what trees need water and what trees don't need water. And can push water to one another or not absorb water so that other waters can get water. Isn't that crazy? Isn't the word of God cool? It says men are trees. So it's our job to let the water of God's word flow through us so that we can distribute the water to other trees, to other men. I just think that's the coolest thing. I just think that's awesome, man. The only thing that can, not the only thing that can kill a tree, but one thing that God says will kill a tree is Psalm 78:47. It says, "He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost." Okay, what's frost? Frost is frozen water. It's when water stops moving. So what's going to kill a tree is when water stops moving. Okay, we can't stop moving this water. Our trees are going to die. All right, your spiritual life will die, and lost people that don't have water, that need water, their life will die. Okay? So what I'm saying is, man, let this word of God flow through you. There's no difference between us. There's no difference between you. When we go to Kosovo, what we're going to do, we're going into a valley. All right? We're going to speak about Jesus, and we're going to let the water flow through trees. We're going to let this word of God, we're going to meditate on the word of God and share it with people. And the entrance of God's word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That's what we're going to do. So, man, let me just challenge you guys. Find a valley. Do the hard thing, whatever that means to you. Do the hard thing. Do the easy thing. Speak about Jesus. And let me just encourage you, start meditating on the word of God. You'll see life become a Bible study, and God's going to open up doors to share the word in your life. All right? All right, I just want to thank you guys, man. You guys are cool, and I really enjoy being here. You guys have been a blessing to me, and I'll tell you what, I made some friends in this place. So thank you guys. God's doing a great work in Maple City. Love you guys. Thanks.